Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Jordan, I am so excited. We are most of the way through our previews. So, and it's an exciting time for the year because I love our MLS kit drop episode, which they've already dropped. And I love, right, and I love the season preview, like prediction show. It's two of my favorite episodes that we do all season, so I'm looking forward to it. And we're sprinkling in some new crazy episodes now, so that they might move further back along the line as we start to do some of these episodes. So,
yeah,
how you doing?
I'm doing well, I guess.
That wasn't real confident. I mean, it was confident at first, then it kind of you lack confidence now, Jordan. What's wrong? What's going on?
Yeah, I just. Yeah. You know, I don't like being overconfident, so I always have to knock myself down a peg a little bit. So, but yeah, no, I'm feeling all right, I guess, otherwise. So we are going to be doing our previews for Montreal, Charlotte, Red Bull New York, Nashville, and Atlanta United. And if you can tell by what we're wearing today, if you're watching the video, we are both wearing our Atlanta stuff. Which means our guest doesn't always mean this because last time I wore San Jose when we had a sporting guest, but I don't have a sporting jersey. All right. So I have 53 jerseys. I found that out, Logan, over the weekend.
Yeah, you did.
Logging them in the Football Kit Archive website and pretty cool tool. I used to use it all the time just to see what they look like. And then I didn't realize you can like have an account and add to collection and wish list and stuff. So I did that, and then I finally now know every kit I have and how many I have. So that's good. In case if I run into a Ross and I'm like, do I already have this one? I can check. But no, so who's our guest that's representing Atlanta United today?
Yeah, so we have Jennifer Taylor joining us, and she is on Five Takes on the Five Stripes, an Atlanta United fan TV podcast. So we're really excited. This is the first time that Jennifer's been on the podcast. It's the first time that we really had anybody for Atlanta in a while. So I think Chris Smith was our last
one. Last time, Chris Smith. Yeah. And like 2 years ago when we did like one for each episode.
Yeah. And I think we
a preview for each.
We had him on. I want to say we had him on early because it was when all that. Who was it? Was it goodness? What is the coach's name that got into?
Heinze. Heineke,
right.
Heinze. No, it was Gabriel Heinze.
Heinze.
That was like not letting them drink water
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. I think that was the last time we talked Atlanta with somebody in person. Because typically what we do if you're just joining for the first time or listening to us for the first time and you're listening to Jennifer come on, typically what we will do is we will have people come on, one person per team that we preview in the group of teams that we're previewing for that episode. So, for instance, this one's Atlanta. We've done one with Sporting Kansas City now. We've had, oh goodness, I'm gonna draw blanks, Miami with Alex Winley. So, but yeah, we used to do it, Jordan, where we had, you know, 29, we would have had 29 episodes this year. So feeling much more refreshed now that we're not doing that.
Yeah. No, I agree. The fact that we're already halfway through when we would be like 4 out of 29 is a big difference when you look at it that way. But yeah, so what we're going to do is I know usually we've been putting the guest at the spot where the team would be because we started from the bottom of the table up to the top. We're going to give you the Atlanta portion now. So that way, if you are a guest that's like, oh, I want to listen to this Atlanta stuff, you're not like scrolling a million times to hear our guest. So usually we do one or zero teams before we get to the guest. This week it's going to be zero. We're going to jump right into the guest right after we take a short break. But stick with us, and we will have Jennifer on to talk Atlanta United. After the interview, we'll jump back into order and go Montreal, Charlotte, Red Bulls, and Nashville. And we are back, and this time we have our guest, Jennifer, who helps cover Atlanta United on their podcast. Hello, Jennifer. How are you today?
I am just dandy. How are you fine folks?
Doing well.
Good. It's nice to have the Southern hospitality, Jordan. And we didn't talk about this pre-show with Jennifer. I was pretty much born and raised in, not born, I was raised in South Carolina, so just north of you all. Which I don't think we got the location. Jennifer, where are you located? Are you in the Atlanta area?
I am in the Atlanta metro area, which is now this giant expansive blob that takes up the entire like northern half of the state of Georgia. So not technically, we have this whole ITP, OTP, inside the perimeter, outside the perimeter thing. So I am technically OTP. I am outside the perimeter, but I'm about 35, 40 minutes from the from the bends. So not too far. Easy commute on Saturdays. No big deal.
Not bad. I'm stationed in Maryland, and we don't have a team. So I'm a Philly fan, so I drive up to Philly, but it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours each time. So
I mean, at least you can get a Pats. Like, you could get a Pats on the way home, something like that. I don't know.
But thank you for coming on. Where can people find all of the socials, or your own social, or the podcast social? Like, whatever you want to plug here, where people can find you.
Awesome. So I am a part of the Five Takes on the Five Stripes podcast, and you can find us on all socials or subscribe to our podcast on all the applicable podcast apps, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, yada, 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 at Five Takes on the Five Stripes. But you have to actually write the word five. And then we're also part of the Atlanta United Fan TV Network. You can find, they have a YouTube channel. They're on all the socials at Atlanta United Fan TV. And we also have a great Discord channel with Atlanta United Fan TV as well. Lots of really good, very positive discussion in there. We run some games, some contests, things like that. So you can find us on Insta. You can find us on Facebook. And, of course, on the YouTube channel for Atlanta United Fan TV. We don't do video broadcasting yet with Five Takes on the Five Stripes.
I was listening to your guys' show beforehand, and I really did. I enjoyed the banter back and forth. I think you're a Spurs fan from what I tried to gather, I think, right? Premier League?
I see the scarf. I see the
such
scarf.
Such a massive... Yeah, I like Payne. So, I like Payne and Shakespeare. So it was kind of the perfect combination and the perfect fit when I was like, ooh, I'm gonna pick a Premier League team. So at the time they had Christian Eriksen, and of course we had, you know, Prince Harry and Son and their whole connection. Yeah. And they happen to be the historically Jewish team as well. So as a Jewish person, I was like, this is the perfect team fit for me. And you know, as a Jewish person, we know about suffering and pain, you know, cause that's kind of the story of every Jewish holiday is, oh my gosh, people trying to kill you and let's eat. That's what happens. So, it's been an interesting ride because I got into Spurs around, you know, right around when we started Atlanta United, cause, off season I was bored. Right. I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't have any more soccer. So I need something to do. And hey, let's day drink. So here we are. Wound up a Spurs fan because I didn't want to be one of those, like, you know, bandwagony Manchester people because they win everything.
Whoa,
like,
whoa, Logan, whoa. Yeah. Okay, Chelsea, calm down. But yes. Yes.
Oh, God, not you too.
We're bad news for a lot of people. So, but no, day drinking, it makes sense with Spurs. But. Not on the day drinking side, but talking a little bit about Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta United might make you want a day drink sometimes, but
it has been for the last several years made us want to day drink every time we had a brunch tailgate.
So, if you'll just kind of reflect on 2023, what did it mean for the team? You guys got some big transfers in Garth Lagerwey, Jordan, and I love that signing. We love Giakoumakis and everything that Atlanta really did last year and really trying to propel this club back up to where they were in prominent standing in the East. So if you'll just kind of reflect on 2023 and what it meant for the year or for the team.
So I think it really begins and ends with being lucky enough to lure Garth in to take over Darren Eales' position. And this isn't to say we don't absolutely love Darren Eales. I mean, the man rode a mechanical bull in the parking lot. What's not to love? But I think, you know, he had a very different job. His job was to come in and put the club on the map. And once we did that, I think there were definitely some questions as to the mentality and approach in terms of player signings and building sustainable success. And I don't know if Darren was necessarily the right person to do that. Garth has a very proven track record with regards to long-term success in the league with his, you know, extended tenure at Seattle and then being at RSL before he's won cups. And immediately the first thing he did was to completely revamp the data analysis and the scouting, which I think we had really been sorely lacking. And then he's done a lot of, you know, kind of things you wouldn't pay attention to in terms of structure from an operational standpoint to make it a little bit more efficient and kind of corporate mentality. He's referenced it as like running it like it's a business, even though it's a business, but it's still a sporting team. So I think the long-term strategic goal in terms of who Garth and his vision of players to target is, you know, different than Darren, who I think at the time had more of the onus of keeping the name Atlanta United in the media, making sure that what we did was really splashy, big names, lots of clicks, lots of likes, lots of following. And I'm not saying that we didn't need to do that, because if you look at the media coverage that Atlanta United gets on a local basis, I don't think there's any team that's better covered than we are outside of Miami. And that's only happening in Miami because of Messi. So in the long run, I think Garth is really like the best person we could have possibly asked for to come in and take things from what Darren built and move us forward. And I think you see that in terms of who we brought in 2023 and who we brought in the transfer window this winter. It's a completely different player mindset. We're no longer going after, you know, that being that stopover city on the way to something better. We are now working toward becoming the destination club in MLS. I'm here for that. Totally here for that. And then obviously the big one was the signing of Gigi. He you know, when you think about the shoes he had to fill coming in after we bought Joseph out, and the kind of iconic figure Joseph is and always will be in this town, we will still be building a statue. Whenever he decides to hang it up, there will be a statue of Joseph kneeling in front of the Benz, because it needs to happen. And the man is everything to this city, on and off the pitch. So you needed not just somebody who could come in and score goals, but you needed someone with that swagger, that Atlanta United vibe, who was going to be that big personality, but not be the same person. And I can't think of anybody else in world soccer that could have come in and done a better job than him. You know, you sign an Mbappe, you sign a Messi, you sign a Suarez, you sign these huge player names, right? They're big names and they're superstars, right? But are they the right superstar for you? Are they going to be able to merge their identity with that of your city? And that's what Gigi has come in and done. He's come in here, he's put the city on his back, and we are in love with him for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Toronto, right, signing two Italian stars that absolutely did nothing for them all season, you have to look for the good fits, definitely.
I think that was part of the problem too, is like, you know, we have, you know, it is not to say that Araujo and Barco weren't really talented players, or Marcelino Moreno. These are all really, really talented players who have a phenomenal individual skill set. Did they fit in the mold of the style of soccer that Atlanta United wanted to play? Not really. So, you know, you spent all this money, you got all this talent on paper. Pity Martinez is another one.
Yeah,
you got all this talent on paper. South American Player of the Year. Why wouldn't that work? Well, he didn't have the right personality to take that team mentality to the next level.
Okay, so what holes did the team head into the offseason needing to fill? And do you think they've done enough so far through the offseason?
I actually think, like, if you want to look at the offseason in two halves, because, you know, Garth was really upfront that we were in it for, you know, a year or two of pain. Because of where our, you know, because of MLS's ridiculous, impossible to navigate salary cap and where we were contract structure wise. So there was going to have to be, there were going to be limits to what we were going to be able to fix immediately. And it was going to take, he said, I think three transfer windows to get us to where he wanted the team to be from a financial and long-term contract standpoint. So if you look at it from what we started to do in July versus, and then, you know, continued on with this current transfer window, I'm pretty happy with it. I think everybody wants to talk about Guzan and is he too old? Can he still be on the pitch? And what I thought was really interesting, if you look at the players that came in and the guesses that we have as to the money, goalkeeper was not really the big money signing. We brought in Josh Cohen. I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. He looked good for his cup of coffee, even though he was playing in a monsoon this weekend. But he's got a really good resume and a great background from Maccabi Haifa. Actually stole a match and pitched a shutout against Juventus. So, you know, that's definitely not a bad thing. But I think personally, the biggest need that we've had, and we've had this need since 2019, is the gaping hole at the six from when Darlington Nagbe left. And you know, if you ask every Atlanta fan what they think, you know, what's the worst thing that ever happened to Atlanta United, they won't tell you it was Joseph's knee. They will tell you it was us not being able to keep Darlington Nagbe. So we've, I think, addressed that in a really interesting way, bringing in, oh gosh, I'm really not good at Polish names. I'm going to have to get better at this. But Bartosz, is it, excuse me, Bartosz Schlitz? I don't know. We're just going to call him Schlitz Malt Liquor. And, you know,
yep.
Looking horns. But yes, we brought him in, and the deal he signed is like for 3 or 4 years. He is going to be here for a long time. And if you know, a lot of people in various social media channels were posting the wailing and moaning and gnashing of teeth that was going on from his team in Poland with him leaving. They did not want to see him go. And while obviously there's not a ton of media out there covering the Polish Premier League or whatever that equivalent is, you know, the little bit of clips that we've seen, he looks absolutely fantastic. And then to supplement him, this is probably my favorite, you know, kind of under the radar signing. We got Dax McCarty. And that's another area. We have not had an enforcer on this team since Jeff Larenowitz retired.
Yeah.
And we need a shutdown midfielder who can come in, you know, in the 80th minute and, you know, throw some elbows and lay out some bodies and just get us over the finish line.
You need another redhead.
That was angry, evil ginger. I am all about that. All about that. And then, you know, I think obviously the departure of Miles was kind of painful, but I think the man that they've brought in to replace him, Gregerson, I think, again, everything on paper looks like he should really slide in here, pick up that pace a little bit. He's very speedy, even though he's big, because he's like 6'4", so he's actually bigger than Miles was. And he seems to have more leadership tendencies and to be a bit more vocal on the pitch, which is something that I'm not really, you know, don't hate on me, but I don't know that Miles brought that to the table. Like, Miles was silky smooth, great with, you know, great on the outlet pass, you know, very fast, really solid. I mean, one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league one-on-one. But he was never a leadership guy. He never wanted the armband. He never wanted to be that guy in the room. And if you're going to be, you know, the starting center back, I think that's something that you need to bring to the table. So I was probably less unhappy with him leaving than a lot of other people were. He might have wanted a change of scenery too, is kind of my theory. You never know. But I think Gregerson will do really well. I'm just, you know, a little nervous that, you know, we looked at Derek Etienne Jr. coming in last year on, you know, who looked like a great signing on paper, and we all know how badly that ended. So I'm hopeful that Gregerson isn't the same guy, but all the same, it'll be fun to wear Viking horns in the supporter section anyway. So, you know.
Throw some skull in there, cool. And the Vikings fans up north will be happy, and the Falcons can say that you at least are friendly with Vikings. But it is interesting that you mentioned Dax, because Jordan and I just did a Mount Rushmore, and Jordan actually were like, I mean, as far as the guys that just have been just a staple in this league, Dax McCarty is one of those guys that you look at and go, like, he and Darlington Nagbe are just these staple. Mm-hmm. They're part of MLS. They are like infused into what MLS and the brand is. And I love that you talk.
They're always on a good team, yep. Really.
So,
and he wanted to come here. He wanted to come here. He could have gone anywhere he wanted. He wanted to come here. He's adamant about that in all of his entry interviews and things like that. So I think, you know, going back to the start of the point, like, you know, the goalkeeper and who's going to be goalkeeper for Atlanta, I think will matter a lot less this season, because we've really done a lot of work in this transfer window to shore up the defensive gaping hole, supering wound that we were last year. Because we fixed the offense, in the summer.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you said you made great points as far as Garth and his data. I feel like going forward with this team, the analytics in behind some of these players. I know that Sleash was one that people had talked about. I was trying to read Polish articles. That's how good I was trying to do it. But translating it was like, this guy's something. Oh. And Atlanta United, like you said, that starts there, and that defensive mid area where you've got a ball winning defensive midfield. And then, like you said, I think Miles and Jordan and I probably talked a little bit about this because we do some U.S. men's national team coverage. It was like, it is that Miles seems to be lacking that next step. Like, he's good. He is a great, you know, fill in the hole in the gap. You know, he's going to be a good center back in this league. But I do, there are concerns, I think, for me at least, that he's not ready to take that next step. And that's why he's not gone overseas. And the injuries don't help, and, you know, missing time. And I think that's just, it's just not reliable to kind of depend on, especially in this league that is so physical. It didn't seem like Miles was ready to get into that physicality of that league yet.
And I don't want to hate on Miles at all. I mean, again, great character guy, you know, really good off the pitch with the kids and things like that. But, and again, great in MLS. Like, he's a great MLS defender. Does he have being a great international player in him? I don't know. And I don't know that people see that in him, because otherwise Europe absolutely would have come calling, especially if they weren't going to have to pay a dime to get him.
I totally agree. But yeah, moving on to somebody that will have Europe aspirations. And I'm pretty sure, Jordan, every time I check, I'm like, is Almada gone yet? And Jordan and I frequent talk about Almada, like, is he still there? And again, I think it's coming. I think it's inevitable. I think listening to your podcast, listening to other people's podcasts, listening to all these people in Atlanta, and they're, like you said, there's tons of coverage. If you need to find Atlanta, you can find them. They're like the LA hub. But it's Thiago Almada is gone. It's just a matter of when. So what are your feelings about Thiago? How special is it to watch him every Saturday, every week? And where do you think he makes it to July?
Oh man, I have to say, so I was in the second row when he hit that screamer cobweb chaser against Portland that was just otherworldly, and it was just, we all went nuts. I actually have it on video. It's incredibly insane. So it is a very, very special treat to get to watch a player like that. I was part of the crew that came back and welcomed him from his World Cup victory. We were in the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's with incredible. Flags and, you know, drums. It was really cool. And he's just, you know, he's a really nice guy, you know, very quiet, very shy, like seemingly not the most approachable person, which I think if he's going to go next level in terms of his career, that's something he's probably going to have to work, but he's a kid. He's an absolute game breaker, because when he is on the pitch, he's drawing two or three defenders, which basically leaves everybody else in our offense wide open to go in and just, you know, pop the ball in the net. But I don't know that he imposes his will or his personality on Atlanta United, right? Like, he's the cherry on top. And I would say, if you're talking about Atlanta United without Thiago, you're talking about a very, you know, a quality deep playoff run team. If you're talking about Atlanta United with Thiago, you're talking about a team that can win cups. He's that difference maker. As far as him going, I think most of the fan base would have expected him to go this window while he still has at least a year on his contract. I believe we've got an option if for whatever reason he doesn't move in July. And I think the reason he hasn't moved, honestly, is, you know, there's only so many teams in Europe that have the money to be able to pay for him that are in top flight leagues, because just because you're, you know, a Ligue 1 side or you're a Serie A side, you know, that doesn't mean Fiorentina actually has $25 million, $30 million to pay for him, even if they need him and they want him. You know, I think the number Atletico Madrid was throwing out was something like 10 to 15, and, you know, that's not going to get Boca to pick up the phone. So I think part of it is he's got to wait for when the right team from Europe is going to call with the right dollar amount. And, you know, that's all really dependent on injuries and who's going where. And, you know, there's a lot of apparently big coaching shakeups going on in the Prem. So that, I think a lot of that is playing into it. So I know the team has always continually expressed desire that they'd love to see him stay. Whether or not that's the actual reality, I don't know. But I think it is likely, if he continues to perform the way that he has with the Albi Celeste and the U23s, goes and has a really good Olympics, which I think that is the expectation, I don't think he will last past July. But I wouldn't be surprised if he did, because, again, not every team can afford to bring in a player like that.
All right. So what players are must-watches for fans or even neutrals this season? So if I'm sitting at home and the only game is Atlanta, who should my eye be on when I turn it on?
I don't know how you don't watch I don't know how you watch Yorgos Yakimakis. I don't know how every time he's on the pitch you don't just like stare at the massive beast of a man that he is. He's so fun. He's got so much personality, and I love that, like, when we were in the middle of that, of the home playoff match versus Columbus, and John De Silva, who's another player to watch, love his energy, so much fun with the backflips and the Spider-Man and the, he's just got loads and loads of character in spades. So, you know, he missed that absolute sitter, and, you know, the whole air got sucked out of the stadium, and, you know, Mercedes-Benz does not get quiet. And it's literally, you could have heard a pin drop in there. And then Yorgos comes out and he is waving his arms and looking at, because he was right by the supporter section and looking at us going, let's get it going, let's go. And then, you know, that's when the Jean De Silva chant started going up. It was completely organic. You could hear it on all the broadcasts, and the building started rocking again. And I think we went out and scored 2 more goals after that. So he's absolutely one to watch, but I think our entire front three are just, you know, they're fun. They're speedy. You blink and they're like halfway, three quarters of the way down the pitch between Jean De Silva and Sabalobjanice. Sabalobjanice, we love to joke, looks like a Eurotrash DJ. And I think he spent his offseason in the bathrooms in Ibiza, you know, spinning DJ sets. He's great. Really, really, really like his game. And I think if you want a young player to kind of keep your eye on, you can't not look at Nick Firmino. That kid is going to be something special. He's Brazilian. He also technically plays the 10, but he's super versatile and he can play pretty much anywhere up front. He spent last season in a MLS Next Pro and he lit the league up. I think he scored something like 17 goals or something crazy, but he also had 6 assists. So he's not one dimensional. And, you know, he's going to be somebody that we look to because we expect Thiago to be out quite a bit for international duty between the U23 and the regular and the normal men's team there. But he's a fun player. Again, adorable, cute as a button, lots of energy. And he's somebody definitely to keep an eye on coming up in the next year or two.
All right. So last question we like to ask our guests, and this is a big one because we always like to try to get into the minds of people that cover the team and really, you know, see this team on a daily. So Jennifer, the question that we like to ask is, what does a successful season for Atlanta United look like? Is it, you know, home field advantage? Is it going after the cup? Is it a realistic trophy out of one of these tournaments that they play in? Like, what are you looking for and what are fans looking for as far as a successful year from this Atlanta United bunch?
You know, that's a really awful question to ask an Atlanta fan because, you know, we're so spoiled by the lower quality success that we get, right? Like, we make the playoffs every year, you know, the Braves will go to the postseason every year, but we just, you know, we can't ever get over the hump. It's awful. So you want to ask a casual Atlanta fan, they're going to tell you winning every cup that we play in is that's all we ever expect. And Frank DeBoer called us all spoiled brats and he wasn't wrong. But I think, you know, from someone who you pay, I think at this point in time, it's conference finals. I would fully expect a very deep, deep run. And I think we're going to be that team that I do think we're going to be a team that nobody really talks about outside of, is Goose too old to still goaltend and where is Thiago going? I think those are the storylines you're going to hear in the mainstream media about Atlanta. I don't think anybody really wants to talk about the signings that we had and the improvement that we've had on both sides of the ball, because we didn't sign anybody big and splashy. We didn't bring in a Luis Suarez. We didn't bring in, you know, some Brazilian Super League person. We didn't bring in, you know, a stud from Liga MX. We brought in some people from League Two and the Polish Super League and, you know, the Turkish Super League. Mm-hmm. So like, who are these people? It's not somebody a casual fan would necessarily know about. You have to be really deep, deep into your footy to be knowing what these leagues offer. So I think if we don't look mid-June, if we don't look like we are poised and positioned for a deep playoff run, I don't think Pineda has a job at the end of the season. This is it. Yeah. He's got all the tools he's needed and ever asked for. Everybody's been really, really patient. You know, we understand he was, you know, new to it and things like that. But I think if we're not in the top four in the league by midseason, I don't think he's still here. All right. Even though Arthur Blank hates to fire people. Really, really, really hates to fire people. But yeah, I think most realistic Atlanta fans may or may not expect a cup, but I think they absolutely expect very deep runs in all tournaments. Maybe not Leagues Cup. I think we'd probably prefer US Open Cup, most of us. I don't know. I don't really care about Leagues Cup. Big fat money grab. But it's cool. I get a nice little break. That's when I can go on vacation.
Right, exactly. All right, so if you wanted to share one more time where everyone can find you and the podcast.
All right, so y'all check us out. We typically drop on Mondays. Post-match we'll record, typically record Sunday and drop on Mondays. We are the Five Takes on the Five Stripes. We are your fan-only takes. Like, this is all, you know, hot takes and sundry discussion of, and then we have another series we have called Five Aside, where we offer, you know, just different insights into random things that are going on in life, but also in sports and soccer, or not necessarily strictly related to the Atlanta United match at hand. And you can find us on the socials at five Takes on the Five Stripes on Facebook, on Insta, on Twitter, X, whatever they're calling that these days. And then we are part of the Atlanta United Fan TV network, and you can find Atlanta United Fan TV on YouTube, also on Insta and Facebook. And hey, join our Discord channel, talk about things. We don't just talk about Atlanta United in the Discord channel. We talk about world soccer. We have some fun contests and games and things like that. And it really is like, you know, you go on the Reddits and it's kind of scary. Like, the Discord channel is actually super nice. Oh, we have a global following in there. We've got people from Greece and I think there's somebody from Africa. You know, now they're starting to talk more about the youth and the development. So we just added a channel for that. So it's a really diverse global footy discussion. There's a lot of people in there that are going on and on about AFCON right now, which is something I know nothing about. But, you know, again, if you want to talk about anything soccer related, it's a really lovely home with great people.
Awesome.
Come check us out.
Thank you. All right, and that was our Atlanta preview with Jennifer from the Five Takes on the Five Stripes. So make sure you go follow her at all the places that she had mentioned. We just want to thank her for coming on again here. All right, let's move on to the first team that we were talking. Well, I guess let's finish the Atlanta stuff because we have to grade them. We have to grade them for last year. So they lost to the eventual champions, right? They took one game out of the best of three. They pushed it to game three and came up short. I think when you take into account that it was the team that won it all at that point, they kind of were, playing the crew pretty well. I feel like you have to give them, I'll give them a B+, right? This is Lagerwey's first year at the time. With the club, they finish in the they finished what position on the table?
Sixth in the East.
Sixth. Yeah. So yeah, just outside like the home playoff spots. They get to the first round. The first round's kind of odd now with the best of three, so it's kind of tough. They lose to the champions, so I don't think you can be too upset about their progress. So I'll say a B+. I think they're more on the right track than they were previously. And I don't know, with the signings I'm seeing Lagerwey make and everything, I'm thinking they're going to be a usual Lagerwey team and probably be pretty darn good again this year. So I think B+ for how it played out last year.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'll throw a B+ at them. And I think you make a good point. They lose to the champions in the playoffs, but gave them kind of a run for their money. They've got really good striker in Giakoumakis. I think Gigi's probably one of the top strikers now in this league. And if he continues, doesn't have that sophomore slump that typically happens, I think this will be really good. Garth Lagerwey seems to have them on the right road. They've kept Thiago Almada, Jordan, which we talked with Jennifer about. That's massive. They made some great signings. Dax McCarthy going forward. And did I say that right? Yeah. Okay. I don't know why my brain was like, no, dude, that's wrong. I think I was thinking Dak Prescott for something. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, no, I think Jordan, they played too with like a broken gate in the back line. Like I feel like not having Miles Robinson healthy or consistently healthy.
I will say you did say the last name wrong. It is Dax McCarthy.
Yeah. Okay.
You had, thank you. You had Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy mixed together.
I don't know what it was. Yeah, my brain had an aneurysm. I don't know. Because I literally had been talking about Dax all day. I don't know what was going on, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had just said it during the
Right, interview. I know. My brain, man. But yeah, no, I think Atlanta United, B+, and I think Jordan, they're set up for a really good spot this year coming up. And I think we covered them pretty well. I mean, as far as the additions.
Do we agree conference final is good with Jennifer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so too. I think they should be pushing for that. Yeah. I can't talk either. We're right. having a day.
Right. I think they should at least be a top four team, Jordan. Like, I really do. I look at some of these other teams and, you know, there's some concern about Orlando. There's some concern about Philly. I don't think New England's that, you know, up there with them. So, and Atlanta keeps adding, and they've added a lot of good pieces. So,
all right. Yeah. Let's move on to Montreal, which, since we're out of order, I have to scroll back up. Okay. So, looking at Montreal, where do we put their report card for last year? All right, because they ended up losing Wilfred Nancy to the Columbus Crew, who goes on, by the way, and wins the whole thing. So now they go ahead and they end up shaving off 24 points from what they were previously. So they end up at 41. They had 65 the year before under Nancy, which was a club record. They made it to the Canadian Championship, which is not really that hard at this point, but lost 2-1 to the Whitecaps. They were dead last in the league's cup group. It was a very tough thing to do, right? To rebound off of a coach that is probably the best coach they've ever had after Thierry Henry left, and they, you know, bring in Nancy, and Nancy just has two great seasons with them. So they bring in Hernan Losada, who had trouble at DC. But they really kind of struggled last year, you know, ending up in the position of, what would that be? Seven, eight, nine, ten, 11? 11th place?
Where did they finish? 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10th. Sorry.
10th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't have the right tab open. 10th. All right. Yeah. There you go. 41 points. Two off of a playoff spot, which I think is actually, I'll tell you, I feel like I have to give them a C+ here because I think it could have gone a lot worse. And I think the fact that they still finished above teams like NYCFC, DC, and Miami, I think is pretty special for Montreal. So while they did lose 21 points or 24 points from the previous season, they just missed the playoffs and they finished above teams that they probably had no business finishing above. So I'll have to give them like a C+. Could have been worse. Could have been better. That's where I ended up with.
Yeah. So I think, you know, looking at Montreal, they had such a good year under Wilfred Nancy. And I think it speaks to how good of a coach he is. And the fact that they traded him and Columbus ends up with Wilfred Nancy and win an MLS Cup. And really, I mean, look like the best team pretty much for the rest of the season. And it like after a certain point, Columbus was almost impossible to beat. So I don't know. Like it was interesting because once they adapted to Wilfred Nancy, Columbus took off. Whereas the opposite was happening. And you and I talked about this signing when they hired Hernan Losada. Something about him just doesn't feel right, and maybe it's because of his history in DC where players had issues and came forward about just how little he really cared about them, and it was more of a business, and players were they felt like they were abused at times, and it really did. It felt like Losada was just a complete disaster in DC United, and reading that and all of the stuff that came out and some of the veteran players that spoke out about him, it made you question why Montreal was going with Hernan Losada, who had DC kind of playing differently, but it, you know, it wasn't enough to really just kind of, which I'm glad, just kind of ignore. It seemed like DC United was quick to go, you know what, this isn't working out. And it was, I remember it being shocking when they fired him. So then the fact that Montreal hires him so quickly and he lasts as long as he does, Jordan, it really spoke to just how bad of a coach he is too, tactically, I think. So it's nothing to do with system. It's nothing to do with ownership and him getting along. It has a lot to do with, I think, just Hernan Losada, period. You had guys previous with Nance, like Kone, Alistair Johnson, the Georgi Mihailovic, who played really well. They left and made European moves. Here comes Hernan Losada, maybe to make some corrections, and that didn't happen. And they just looked like a shell of themselves last year. I think there were times where people were just kind of waiting for Montreal to kick it on and into gear, and they never did, couldn't figure it out. Now they've kind of gone into like this restructuring rebuild of a shell of a team. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in 2024. But if I had to grade last year, I'm going to go with a C minus, because I really think that the hit should be for taking on Hernan Losada. I think ownership should own that on the chin. It's just not a good hire. That's detrimental to culture. Now you got to build it back. And I think it's kind of fractured because he tends to leave things in fractured places. So.
All right, let's take a look at 2024. Dominik Yankov is coming over from Ludogorets. 23-year-old Bulgarian international is coming over then as an attacking midfielder. We got Joaquin Sosa on loan from Bologna, who's a center back coming over. Right wing back, we got Ruan, who's moved it over from DC United, and before that Orlando, as they traded Aaron Herrera over for Ruan. Raheem Edwards, that they made a trade with from the Galaxy. I forgot about that move. 400K GAM. And then goalkeeper Sebastian Breza, transfer from a sister club of Bologna. I forgot that they had a deal with Bologna, but there's two right here that are from there. So that's pretty interesting. Totally forgot about that. So last year they gave up 52 goals. They scored 36. How did they finish above all these teams? And
nobody does.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they are trying to sign what, Matias Kokoro, $2 million fee. He's a forward. It's not done yet, though, so we're not sure if that's going to happen. It'll probably happen once we're done pressing record on the podcast here, so yeah. Just keep that in mind. But yeah, so they have a new coach, right? Yeah, they got rid of Losada. Did they?
Yeah, Losada's gone.
Yeah.
It's Laurent Courtois as the new head coach.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yes. Led Columbus
Crew. People are very excited about him. Yeah. People are very excited about him. Yeah, so the Losada thing is like, it worked a little bit, and then, he's what, been fired twice mid-season or so now? During two short tenures with teams? That's pretty crazy. So we'll see how this reflects. This might give you the new manager bounce here, especially if he's somebody that's competent. So, 2024. What are your thoughts on what they've done so far in free agency? Well, MLS free agency, and of course the transfer window.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at these pieces, and it's really tough to gauge, and we continue to do this where we debate whether a player coming from the European system is going to work, and people are like, well, naturally it should, right? And if you know anything about the league, that's not really how that works. CONCACAF and MLS and the region that we're in, the league that we're in, the nation that we're in, it's a very physical league, more so where it's a lot of just bully ball and physicality and speed. And if that's not something you have, then it typically doesn't go well. So looking at some of these players, Jordan, and the leagues that they're coming from, I'm skeptical with this team, because typically loans from sister clubs don't typically go well. It's typically that player didn't pan out, so let's see what else we can do with him just to get him some time and some minutes. And I can't remember, Jordan, the last time it really just it took off, where a club loaned somebody to a sister club and they just exploded. And I'm assuming it'd probably have to be NYCFC or and Red Bull, because those are the only two teams, I think, right, that have sister clubs. So, and I think this one's a weird one. Like, I think Montreal is more of like a partnership, from what I remember.
DC has some stuff. I forget what team that they have a deal with over in, I think, Italy. Yeah. There's a few teams that have partnerships like this. That are owned by the same clubs, and then they just kind of that are not part of like the same sort of system that Red Bulls and NYCFC are part of. So it's kind of hard to keep track on some of these.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, looking at their roster, Wanyama, I guess, assume he's coming back. He's an older midfielder that I'm not sure has got it left in the tank. Piet is okay. They've not really added a whole lot that I'm like, oh, they could slot in here. Oh, they could definitely be a rotational player. Yankov, I think, could be a starting midfielder from everything I'm reading. Ruan, I've watched him play in Orlando. I like Ruan. I think Ruan's time is up too. So it's, you know, you're adding that. Raheem Edwards has never impressed me much.
So I have to defend Wanyama here a bit. He's not that old, all right? He's
33, isn't he?
32. He turns 33 the day before I do. All right. So I'm going to draw the line in the sand and say he's not old. He's
experienced, not. Is what you'd like to call him.
Right. He's still got a few years in the tank here.
I don't know. He looked like he doesn't look like he does. I don't know. Montreal, Jordan, I this is one of the teams I'd circle and highlight as a team that I got some concern about. Laurent Courtois has never done it at this level. He played in MLS, but he's never coached in MLS. I will say the Crew have had successful MLS Next Pro teams and youth teams and developing young talent. So maybe he's had a big influence on that. So that could be a plus, but he's coming in and stepping into a team that's got a lot of older players. Your boy Romel Kyoto is not back. He hasn't signed any deal, Jordan. I'm kind of worried about him. He'd be a good Philadelphia Union signing, honestly. But, yeah, no, the signings I just don't think move anything. I think you've kind of put some weird Band-Aids on places, and this is a team that you're not looking at it as a signing and going, yep, that's the guy that's going to move the needle. I think this team gets worse this year in 2024.
Okay, so what would be a successful season for them then?
That's a good question, because this is like one of the first clubs that I've really had this kind of concern with. I'm going to say, Jordan, a successful season is finishing where they currently sit from last year in the 10th spot. 10th and above is successful, obviously, but if they don't finish 10th, then that's not a successful season. I think 10th is pretty realistic looking at the rest of the league.
I have to say wild card. Now, it doesn't mean that's where I think they're going to be, but I think if you're 10th, and I know people say, well, you fired your coach, you're bringing in something new. I still think you want to see improvement to show, hey, we made a good choice in letting go of our coach. We made a good choice in starting this new path. And I think you want to see some improvement. So I would say you have to be like 9th place to be successful. I think if they finish the same spot, it can't be called a success. But you're right. That's probably where they're going to end up. But I think that, you know, I think Montreal fans would be bummed if they finish like the same exact spot. Then they're like, okay, what do we do now? Right.
I think it's hard because you got to like wipe your memory for these. Cause like, I almost feel like it's hard because you'd be like, well, that's not successful. It's where we were last year. But I'm like, no, that'd be successful based on the, I think, roster that you have. That's my personal feeling. We've ripped Montreal before. And I remember that our first year. And man, we made somebody really mad at us. So they did not like us going hard on Montreal for some reason, because we were kind of wrong. So
we were, yeah. They, that was the year. I think it was Nancy's first year.
Yeah, we were wrong.
He did really a great job.
Yeah.
So
they made the playoffs, I believe, and bounced Orlando. Maybe I don't remember. I don't remember what year that was.
I think you're right. I can't remember though. Okay, we're gonna talk Charlotte now. Charlotte FC. So they made the playoffs again, which is great, right? Making the playoffs. They finished 9th in the wild card. But if I'm grading them on last year, I don't know how high I can go, because that wild card game ended up a blowout. Red Bulls blew them out. What, like 5-2 or something like that. It was a massacre for Charlotte. But they finished on the same amount of points as Red Bull. They were 6 points off of a non-wild card spot. -7 goal differential. You know, they had something going. But I think what we really have to think about is before they added these wild cards, they wouldn't have been in the playoffs. And I know people say, well, they were in the playoffs. But they got one extra game and got blown out. Like, I don't know how much that moves the needle for Charlotte or Charlotte fans. But again, it's they made the playoffs. So I feel like it's hard for me to give them a bad grade. But they're a team that just doesn't really do anything for me when I think about them. Sometimes, and this is going to sound awful, I forget they exist. And that is not good, right? Like, they just, I don't know what to think of this team. Their owner, though, would not like me saying this. He would be throwing drinks at me all day if he could, if I was in his stadium. But I don't know. I think I have to give them, like, I'm probably going to end up giving them like a C+, right? You made the playoffs, great, but they weren't a team that I thought moved any sort of needle, I guess, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know how Charlotte fans feel about their team right now, but I thought there may have been a little bit more expectations on them last year, and they just didn't really do that.
Yeah, they had hopes. Karol Swiderski, Joe Zwiak, like, they had talent on the roster. They had exciting pieces that I think they were looking forward to really building around. I know that Swiderski's drawn a lot of attention from European talent, or sorry, European teams, as being European talent. You had Copetti. Benders played pretty well as a young player, so you're excited about that coming onto the scene, and he never really progressed in this season. But, you know, there were a lot of different question marks, and Swiderski didn't play as well. Like, it was interesting. Like, it was like Atlanta was expecting these guys to all play better, and they all didn't. Like, it was a tough watch at times, just because I think there were a lot of pieces that, you know, you had a lot of promise about in 2022, and then 2023 happens, and it was like, okay, now we got to hit the reset. Like, they always say this too. It's like there's like this cycle with expansion teams typically when they're not these big markets, right? It's the excitement and the adrenaline can push you over the hump in the first year where you perform pretty well and you've got exciting pieces. And then the second year could be the cycle of, wow, you really take off. But most second year, they kind of regress. Like, they lose some of these pieces because they start to try to figure this league out, and the league figures them out. And so I think they're kind of in that weird, like, transition between expansion side and trying to learn in their second year where they were in 2023, and now in 2024 being a third year team trying to figure out, okay, where do we build and who do we build around? And Copetti really is the one that I'd probably be most excited about. You know, you got Benders young, but he never really took that giant step you really want him to. Vargas is okay on the left wing. Like, he's some good talent. Like, but Swiderski and Joe Zwiak, like, they've kind of fallen down in the depth chart and could be sold. There's a lot of chatter around them. So this team's in kind of a weird disarray. And then you fire Christian Latanzio in 2023 or after 2023. It seems like they kind of drew a line in the sand, Jordan, and said, okay, now I got to hit a reset button a little bit here. So I wouldn't feel good about the position if I was Charlotte. Tepper doesn't like to spend. Tepper's never really done much with the Panthers, and he's not going to do much with Charlotte. So if I'm Charlotte, this is another team, Jordan, highlight and put an asterisk next to. As one of those teams that I'd be a little concerned about heading into 2024 based off of 2023. I'm going to give this team, they did make the playoffs for the first time, so I'm going to give them a C+ just because of that. I think in a second year, that's pretty impressive. They do have some talent to build around. and some young players that I think might have a bounce back third year, but looking at the rest of the team, I'm not too high on.
Well, I have a hard time thinking that they can make it into the playoffs again.
True.
And I don't want to spoil anything on my picks and stuff, right? But you're expecting NYCFC to bounce up here. You're expecting Miami to go up the table. You're hoping, if you're Jonathan Herdman, that Toronto is not going to be the dumpster fire they are. There's going to be teams that are pushing to get in those nine spots. And a team has to drop out of that if one of those teams are going to take the spot. And I do think Charlotte, when I look up the rest of the playoff teams here, Cincy, Orlando, Columbus, Philly, New England, Atlanta, Nashville, Red Bulls, Charlotte, there's a reason they were the ninth team. I do think that they will fall out of that spot. Now, when I talk about what's a successful season for them, if you were in the playoffs last year, I think you want to make another stop. Right? You want to make another step. And what I would say a successful season is win the wild card game. You can't just get there this time. You have to get in and win it, or at least not lose 5-2. Like, you have to really make a push if you're Charlotte FC. Doesn't mean that's what they're going to do, but I think if you're a Charlotte fan, you're looking at last year as a little taste. You want the taste to be sweet, not sour. And it was sour, as they got defeated pretty handily.
Yeah, I would say with nine spot, it's really hard because it's getting more and more congested in a tough East. I agree with you. I think winning a wild card game would be considered a successful season from Charlotte fans. I feel they've got to win one, and that would be considered a success because I think that's the next step forward. Does it happen? You and I are probably pretty low on that, and we'll see as the predictions go. But we don't speak too positively about this team. And again, Jordan, I'm so concerned because here we have another NFL owner. And yes, I'm kind of redirecting this towards Kraft a little bit. An NFL owner that owns a team that could do so much with a team that could put them in their own stadium in a beautiful spot in one of these cities that they live in, i.e. Charlotte is a great spot. It's young, it's hip. People will go to the games. They filled that, I forget what it's called now. Bank of America. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And to fill that stadium, and my friend lives in Charlotte and he goes to games, and he's not really a big soccer fan, but he still goes to game because he loves the atmosphere. He loves the youth. It is a very youthful city. It's got a lot of money in it. You could have a lot of, and you know, they've rolled out the ticket prices, and they had that disaster where the tickets were nuts. And it just seems like Tepper is kind of a poison to his clubs and his teams. And this is a danger spot. If I'm Charlotte fans, I'm concerned because I think the state of the team is about what I would expect from a club or team or entity owned by the Tempers.
Yeah, so they've signed Undunze from MLS Next Pro as a goalkeeper. They signed João Pedro from MLS Next Pro. They had free agent signing David Bingham as goalkeeper. He's 34, entering his 13th MLS season. Then, you know, it sounds like Joswiak is going to be leaving the club. They're trying to bid for an attacking midfielder, Albert Gronbeck, it keeps getting declined by the Norwegian club he plays for. So we'll see if they're able to work that out. They have a new coach, Dean Smith, coming in, right? Because they dropped another coach again. So, I don't know, right? Like, it is pretty tough to tell. This will be their third coach already, because they had MAR, right? Got replaced by Latanzio, who got kicked to the curb at the end of... They're going through one a year at this rate.
It is Dean Smith, though. Like, yeah, that's a big Smith, pull.
Yeah, led Norwich City and Leicester City... took Aston Villa back to the Premier League in 2019. So it is a big deal. But sometimes when it comes to those type of managers over here, it doesn't work. And we'll see if it works. But, and then Serdersky's rumored to be moving away, right? Like, there's so many question marks to this team. I can't at this point in January 30th, when we're 22 days away from the kickoff of the season, think that this team is in any sort of good position to replicate what they did?
Yeah, so I went through like Twitter mentions and articles, and so they need a defensive midfielder. They want a DP improvement over Joswiak. There goes my little weird thumb thing again. They need a starting caliber right back. They need a more veteran center back. They need a good goalkeeper if Kalina doesn't work out. So, Jordan, this team needs all basically everything that you could possibly need in a team. I love that people were, like, shouting this out. And this was written in one of, I think it was Doyle's articles, where it was basically like, so basically this team needs another team, is essentially what you're saying. Because, I mean, again, you look at Capetti, who, if he had a good season, I think he moves on eventually. Vargas too, possibly. Bender is young, and they tend to go pretty quick. Like, this team is in a weird, weird spot. And Dean Smith is a glamorous hire. To hire somebody, could you imagine, Jordan, like, and this is like kind of poo-pooing a little bit on the league, I guess, from Prem, but you got to remember the Premier League is the crowning jewel. Could you imagine him showing up to Charlotte and going, wait, you playing in what? The football state? Like, it would be the Panthers logo out there on the field because it's not football season, or our, you know, soccer season.
Right now, yeah.
And he's trying to convince him, like, oh, trust me, like, you can see it. And he's like, no, I can't. Then he watches the Panthers play. He's like, oh my gosh, if this is how you run teams, I don't want anything. And then he throws the beer on the guy, like Tepper threw the beer
I would love if, like, he was in the box with Tepper when that happened. And, like, it's like, whoa.
I imagine that Dean's at the games. Like, I imagine he's over here now, like, or was over here during that time, right? December, January, I think that happened. So I feel like Dean.
I don't know. I feel like you can do head coaching stuff without being here in, like, preseason. Like, it wasn't preseason.
You do a lot of scouting. And that's true.
He could be watching videos of scout stuff as he's sitting at home in England until it's time to come stateside for whatever. Hey, that's the name of the show.
Hey, look at that.
Okay, did we say we say what successful season was, right? Did you agree with
win a wild card game? Yep.
All right. Anything else about Charlotte before we move on to the New York Red Bulls?
No, I think I've said all I could say about Charlotte for now.
All right, New York Red Bulls. Wow, they did it somehow. Right, they continued their 13-year MLS Cup streak. Didn't think it was possible, but they squeaked in above NYCFC. They get above Montreal. They get above Charlotte. For most of the season, it looked like they were going to miss the playoffs totally. Only 36 goals all season, but their defense only gave up 39. They actually had a pretty darn good defense. The tied for second best in the top eight. All right. There's a lot of teams with 39 goals given up. Cincy, Orlando, New York. And the other team that has the best, Nashville, 32. So they actually gave up less goals than the Union. Union usually have really good defense. But they just weren't able to score. 36 goals, not doing it for them. They had a record signing, Dante Van Zier, who did not really score that many. He did have his season stopped by injury, and then he had a suspension for a racial slur. and then another injury. So just two goals for Van Zier. Frankie Amaya, what's going on in this guy's head, do you think? He forces his way out of Cincinnati to get to New York, and then New York goes and plays like Cincinnati. Cincinnati goes on to win a supporter shield and start making playoff runs without him. Wrong move. Yeah. Wrong move, I would say. God, think about how good Cincy is, and their right. like number one draft pick didn't even play for them anymore. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So you had Struber, who was fired in May. Troy Lesenz took over, right? And then he's left now. He's going to DC. So, yeah, I don't know. Red Bulls are in another weird spot. But if I have to give the report card for 2023, all right, I'm trying to think about the way I want to do this. If I want to be harsh or kind, I will say C-. All right. You kept your playoff streak. You blew out the team in the wild card, so that's good. But the rest of the team is a mess. And for most of the season, you did not look like you were competing at all. So good job getting in there. You get a C-. The rest of your team is really in some trouble. And I'm really curious to see how they're going to do this year. I have no clue. But Logan, what's your thoughts here on last year and what we should grade them?
Yeah. I mean, you and I talked a lot about Red Bull and NYCFC last year, just because they were both sitting outside of the playoffs looking in. And we were like, is either of this team, I think we even did almost like a full episode on them early on, where we were both like, what's going on with these two? They're the feeder club. They're like it's like having a minor league team play over here in major league. And they're like, oh no, this is not going well. And then they just spin off players that they think are going to be talent for the rest of the RB and NYCFC city group, Red Bull group. Like it's got disaster written all over it. It's why the league needs to get rid of the sister clubs. It's why they need to get rid of the feeder clubs. It just doesn't do well. And especially Jordan in a city that is used to seeing, you know, at least big spenders. I wouldn't say talent, but at least big spenders like the Yankees and the Mets and the Nets and the Knicks. They always spend a lot. They're never good. Yankees are sometimes, but it has that kind of taste to it, where the Red Bull Jordan, it just feels like they've got a bunch of guys that just don't gel and mesh. And we talked about fit with Atlanta United. When we had Jennifer on, she said, I think that was one of my favorite things, is that you had a bunch of this talent. But again, in soccer, it has to fit, right? There's a lot of sports that you can just make do with a lot of talent. This is not one of those. This is very much a team game buildup. So, Jordan, I'm going to go C-. It's about as average as you can get this team. And I say average in the fact that they're lucky they defend so well, because this team would have been an absolute monstrosity. Yeah, there we go.
Monstrosity,
like garbage all fire, poop. Yeah. So the audacity, like, no, this club, man, they're a mess. At least they've got good defensive players in Frankie Amaya, and John Tolkien's got beautiful hair. Because otherwise this team was not really much to watch, and I'm a little bit concerned about going forward too.
Yeah. Going forward, they have a new coach, Sandro Schwartz. He is German. He comes over from a few teams over there: Mainz, Hertha Berlin, Dynamo Moscow in Russia. So we'll have to see how he adapts to this league. They've made some signings. Noah Eile, they are a Swedish player coming over from Malmo, defender. And of course, the biggest one, and one that, like, he's already kind of doing some good stuff over in the preseason, but Emil Forsberg, who is coming over from RB Leipzig as a designated player, signed through the 2026 MLS season with an option for 2027. He's got 71 goals, 68 assists, and 324 appearances for RB Leipzig. Wow. He's 32 years old, still can do it, though, I believe. So I think that is, like, we're highlighting 2024. This is the type of signing I've been asking Red Bulls to do recently. So I like that he is coming over. Yes, it's from one of their clubs over there. But did you see? I think it was like a pass or a shot he made that was circulating in the preseason already, from like way midfield. Just beautiful stuff that's been missing from this team for so long. But they had a bunch of departures too, right? Nadam, Nokita, Jaden Reed, all these options that were declined, Sforvada, Omir Fernandez, then a loan expiration on Jorge Cabezas Hurtado, traded Drew Yearwood to Nashville, Tom Barlow got traded to Chicago, Laquinas transferred to Fortaleza, and then, you know, of course, the core that they have right now, Tolkien, Reyes, Sean Nealis, Amaya, Daniel Edelman. So where can they go? And this is where I would say, if we're looking at successful seasons for this team in 2024, I'm looking at, you have to make the playoffs again. You got to get this to 14-year streak, right? You don't want this streak to end. But I think they need to win a playoff round to be successful. Now, again, will they do it? No clue. Poach is new, right? You're going to have Forsberg adapt. You're going to have all these people that are not used to playing here adapt to here, which sometimes goes really quick and sometimes takes a while. So I have them as they have to make the playoffs. They have to win a round, whether it's the wild card again or they win the round after that. They just have to keep making progress. And while they'll have a new coach, I just don't think this squad can get past like round one, the best of three. So I feel like they just have to do their best to do that. And then hopefully they have their coach for a while. Things work out. They keep building the team and keep getting better.
Yeah. I think in 2024, a successful season depends on Lewis Morgan being healthy, because he wasn't healthy last season. Van Zier doing anything besides throwing racial slurs at other people.
That's what I was going to say.
Getting in the face of coaches. That, yeah. And yeah, he was I remember we talked multiple times about him being a hothead, got in the face of a ref. And like, he had all sorts of temperament issues. So getting him under control and even getting 10 to 12 goals, Jordan, that'd be successful for him. Lewis Morgan was a damn good player before he got hurt. In 2022, he had 14 goals. He was like, I remember, Jordan, we talked about him being like a candidate for MVP for a little bit and thought that he really had a good And then you had Forsberg in with Edelman, with Frankie Amaya back there in the midfield, also with some depth piece, Carmona. Their defense is stellar, elite. And I don't think it'll get any worse. I think it'll actually get better, which is scary to think. They're up there in the likes of like Nashville defensively. I think this is a really good young defense, especially on the right back, left back spots with Tolkien and Duncan. Sean Nealis and Reyes are both really good center backs in this league, and they probably one of the better keepers that's kind of kept under wraps in Cornell. Like, I don't think a lot of people talk about him as much, and I think he's one of the best. So yeah, I love their defense. I think their attack has to get better, right? Because it was so bad last year. Because Lewis Morgan will be back and healthy.
Yeah, has to be better than the 30s. And you would hope with that Van Zier scores more than two, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that's
right.
You're hoping it goes a little better.
Yeah. So I think, Jordan, I think that's a great shout. I think getting back into the playoffs, getting into the I wouldn't say the thick of things, but like, you know, in that 5-7 range, that, you know, we're back, we're building. We could surprise, just get in the playoffs, win a game. They'd love to host at Red Bull Stadium because it's a great atmosphere when people actually show up. And I think that's what this team in that city's kind of been lacking, is them being competitive and being consistently competitive. Because once it does, I think that's the club that New York needs, right? That's like this. That's the hero New York needs, not the hero that New York wants. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited for the first time, Jordan, that the Red Bull are at least going and trending in somewhat of the right direction. But that being said, I still don't know if they've got the manpower up front to really fix anything. They're kind of like Nashville, but like a lesser version.
Yeah.
They don't have Hani Mukhtar.
No. But hopefully Forsberg can kind of be that.
Could be.
You know,
he's been good, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that. You sign a Champions League experienced player like that was a big name like that. I'll take that every day. And they're only 32. Like, they're not
gritty,
like,
too.
Coming over at 34, 36. Like, I'll take that. I'll take that. So, thank
this team's
you, Red
gritty
Bulls
as hell.
For,
like,
for doing something for once.
Yeah. It's a mean team.
All right. Anything else about Red Bull before we jump over to Nashville?
No, I think we're ready to jump over to the other defenders.
All right, Nashville. Last year, Hany Mukhtar was MVP candidate. My pick for MVP for the first, I don't know, 15 games, 10 games, something like that. That didn't stick, though, as Lucho Acosta just totally took it home. But it is amazing, and I still think this guy can be our first two-time MVP winner since Mike Preki. So that is what I am hoping for at some point for this Nashville team, because if Mukhtar's playing well, the team is playing well. And last year, he was playing well, but didn't get as much of the goals, right? The defense was still good, but not what it's been. Dax McCarty, he's gone now, so you kind of got a hole there that they're going to have to fill again. But they did get a number 9, Sam Surridge, last year, which looked pretty great. And, I mean, they took Messi and Inter Miami to the penalty shootouts of League's Cup, or else they would be holding up their first MLS era trophy. I don't know if they won anything in USL. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case for them. Post-League's Cup, everything started to trend downward a bit more. So I guess we'll find out what happens into 2024. But before we get to that, let's grade 2023. I think for reaching a League's Cup final, I have to give them some mad props. Especially going to goalkeepers on the penalty shootout. That's pretty great. And they still finish in the top 7. So they didn't have to worry about a wild card game. They still played defensively. They just needed to sort out the goal scoring. I'm going to give them a B-. I'm giving them B- because they reached a final. And because they made the playoffs again. B+ if they're probably higher than 7th. A-, right? If they're in the top 4, A+ if they would have won that darn League's Cup. But I have them at B- for 2023.
Yeah, I'm going to be a lot more mean on them. I'm going to go with a C, straight up C. I'm going to voice more of a... This is like waving a yellow flag, I guess. Not a red flag yet. But this team is literally the same team every year. Like, it's the exact same team. It's like they replicate themselves and just, like, move them from year to year. They're not getting better. They've not gotten better. They played well in League's Cup, but after
they're
League's
only
Cup,
3 years old, though. I gotta, like, say that at least.
Yeah, but when you play the same, when you score constantly right around the 40 mark and you don't give up goals, you're the same team. Like, you're not pushing anything. Hany Mukhtar is just as good as you will allow him to be, but he's got to have help. He's got no help. Like, in 2023, Sam Surridge played well pre and in League's Cup. After, it was like watching, again, their misfit toys out there trying to score goals again. Like, it continuously happens. They add Fafa Pico, which is a great depth piece, but I don't think he's a starting winger in this league. I think he's got the talent to be an infusion for teams, but he's not your, like, second guy. And he played, you know, it just, this team, Jordan, like, I don't know. Like, if they regress even more defensively, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Like, if they regress and start giving up 40-some-odd goals, you're talking, like, they're like a 12th to 15th team because they just don't score, like, at all. It's concern. It's got to be concerning. When Hany Mukhtar isn't out there and performing like a superstar, this team is lackluster. They've not moved the needle at all. They've 3 years, right? At least do something, right? Like, you're there. It's not like you're a broken team like Austin, or you're a broken team like Charlotte. And sorry, I'm calling you two broken, but it seems you two are broken. It seems like Nashville, Jordan, is like, this would be like so frustrating for a Nashville fan, I would think. Like, you are there. You have the most elite defense that this league's seen in quite some time. You have one of the best players to ever do it, who, Jordan, you said would win a second Landon Donovan MVP. That's if his team does anything. Like, I agree with you. Like, I think that's the case with Hany Mukhtar. He deserves a second or a third. I think he gets a third or a fourth if this team is any good. Like, that's how special this dude is. But now you got Messi, who's going to take the MVP if he just shows up and he's healthy and he plays.
I don't know.
You don't think so? I don't know. But like,
I think they have to be. I think they have. Look, it usually goes to whoever's the best player on the supporter, unlike the supporter shield team. So it's going to have to be like, Messi would have to do that.
Yeah.
Or like be in the top four for Miami. Like if Messi just shows up and they finish like seventh, and he's got like 10 goals, 10 assists, I don't know if he still gets MVP.
Yeah. But I mean, Hany Mukhtar does that, and he almost wins it every league, every year.
But he's usually carrying higher than seventh. That. Like, the reason why his stock fell this year is because they finished seventh, right? Like, I don't know. I think you're being overly critical. This is a team that is still fairly new to MLS, that has been consistently a playoff team and been getting to finals and stuff like that. So I think that they're still in the trajectory. You say that they're not doing anything. I think bringing in Surridge last year was them trying. Did it work as well as they wanted it to? No. And sometimes that happens when I think soccer and MLS is the hardest thing to do, because you have to try to bring players from other countries that then have to adapt to the league. And sometimes it works very well, and sometimes it doesn't. We've seen it with, when we talked about Atlanta earlier, right? Barco and Pity Martinez, who struggled when they came over here. And then you have sometimes where they come over from, like, you know, the third division of Germany, and then they're like the best left back in the league, and you're kind of confused on how that can possibly happen. So I do think they're trying. I don't think there's anything wrong with the front ownership, like front office or ownership on Nashville's side. It's just, will they produce? You have a question here on if this is it for Gary Smith. I could possibly see something like that happening, where if they finish like sixth or seventh again, where maybe they're like, all right, we need a boost. We need an injection in the management side of things. I could see something like that, but hopefully they don't ever let Hany Mukhtar leave to go anywhere. I remember that fake story that I got bamboozled by midseason last year, and I was pissed about Mukhtar possibly leaving. Hopefully he's here, even if they finish the season without the cup. But I guess we can transition to the 2024, what would be a successful season for them. I do think at some point they're going to need silverware, so I'm going to put that on there, whether it's League's Cup, Open Cup, Supporter Shield, MLS Cup. They need another run to something like that, and I think that they can do it if everything works in their favor. But if we're talking just league-wise, getting back in the top four, keeping the defense as good as it's been, I think that is like the key that they're going to have. And then, of course, hopefully if the defense stays good, you finally pick up some of those goals.
Yeah, I think successful season looks like progression to, like you said, a home field playoff game, because that's where they're at their best, is at home. They're tough to beat in Nashville. Like, that is a tough crowd to play in front of. But again, regression has been their name. Like, if you look at their points per match, 1.5, 9 in 2021. In 2022, it was 1.47. And in 2023, it was 1.44. They've regressed. They've fallen down the table. They've gone from 3 to 5 to 7. Their next step's 9. Like, I could see this team legitimately playing in that last wildcard spot, fighting for their lives, especially if Hany Mukhtar is not healthy, especially if he doesn't play like at the caliber he's been playing at, and they have not added anybody. like significant to this team. Like I just don't
I do think it's hard, and I'm going to come across like Nashville's biggest fan here.
You are, yeah, no, but I get it. I get where you're coming from.
No, because 2022, they were in the West. Correct. And they made the move back to the East. So while you say they dropped from 5th to 7th, I do want to add, the West was incredibly poor last year. So going from 5th of the West, going to what became a huge juggernaut in the East last year, I feel like they kind of finished in the same exact spot, which doesn't make it any better because it's not an improvement, but 5th in the West, I would say, is probably equal to 7th in the East in my interpretation of the strongness of the Western Conference and Eastern Conference this year. So I'll give them a little bit of leeway with that. I hope that they're just Eastern Conference forward, and that might change some of their downfalls, right? Like, I feel like if you are constantly changing leagues, it's going to get to the point where how can you accurately judge your progress, right? Okay, well, we got bounced by this team in the playoffs. Great. Well, we're never going to face them again in the playoffs because now we're moving back to the East. And then we finish in this, and it's like hard to kind of, I think, really grasp anything when it comes to that. So hopefully for our sake, they stay in the East now just so we can have consistent table places kind of going forward.
Yeah. I mean, they do. They have the best player, I think, in the league. Messi obviously is going to add a crutch there. But, like, I think it's between those two. You look at their pieces that they've added. You look at Drew Yearwood, who they've added. Who was a good depth piece in the center midfield for Red Bull, but he's not really going to do much in behind Hany Mukhtar. Tyler Boyd, he scored in today's preseason match, but he was never anything with LA. Mackenzie Gaines has always been just kind of an average defensive piece. So, you know, you're looking at nothing really has changed. You're hoping Surge does play like he did during League's Cup because he was special in that league. And maybe he has that second year bounce back. We've seen that, Jordan, where a guy's not scored hardly at all in his first season in MLS, but then all of a sudden he comes out and just smashes home 10 to 12 goals, and then it's fine. He had 2 goals in the regular season last year, which is not great. But again, this team, Jordan, defensively is what keeps them in games. And there might be some slight regression, but I still think they're probably the top defense team in this league.
I tell you, the team I was scared to face in the playoffs as a Union fan is Nashville, because they are defensive like the Union are, and I feel like every time the Union and Nashville play each other, it's nil-nil draws.
Yeah,
that are absolutely trouble for you. You know, yeah. Absolutely trouble. So that was that we were all joking, the Union fans, that if we got them in the best of three, it was going to be 3 nil-nil draws that end up having to go penalties, right, to figure out who's moving on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a look here at, you mentioned some of their signings. Tyler Boyd. We talked about Drew Yearwood with the Red Bulls. He moves over there. And then Mackenzie Gaines coming over from Charlotte and Austin. So we'll have to see how he does coming over from those two clubs. He did used to play for the youth teams of Hannover, Sachsen Neunzig, my favorite German team there. So I had to shout them out. I'm really excited to see how Nashville come out this year. And hopefully. If you're a Nashville fan, you see some sort of progress, but they do have to sort out the goal scoring. That's going to be their biggest liability. And it seems like no matter who they bring in for it, hasn't produced to the levels that they need them to.
Yeah. They're a top team in the Western Conference, Jordan, if they can figure out how to find a 10 to 12 goal scorer and it's not named Hany Mukhtar. Because
you need somebody else that he's going to feed the ball for the assists, and then that he will also add his 10 goals or whatever,
right,
onto. Okay. Wow. So that is it for the teams here. Next up the table is Atlanta. We covered them at the beginning of the show, obviously. So that leaves us with the next episode being the last four of the West: Houston, LAFC, Seattle, and St. Louis. So that one will be coming next week, and then make sure you check out for the last five of the East after that, when we'll have talked New England, Philly, Columbus, Orlando, and Supporter Shield holders, Cincinnati. So we're going to be able to talk about some silverware teams, because we have Cincinnati and the Crew, who won trophies last year, that we will be talking about. And of course, next week we'll be talking about another trophy winning team, Houston, who ended up winning the U.S. Open Cup. After that, we'll have our full season prediction show and our MLS kit reviews, where we rank them from buy it now, wait for Ross, don't buy, and burn it, that we will rank the new 2024 kits for. We'll wait for the official previews, like the official pictures to come out, so we're not judging them off of these blurry EA Sports leaks that happened. All right, Logan, anything else you wanted to share before we head on out of here?
Our next episode will be highlighting St. Louis, and we will be having the guys from Ball Watching, a St. Louis City SC podcast. Jake and Justin are back. We had them on a couple times last year.
Two or three times last year,
yeah. So excited to talk about them. They've had some tremendous success of their own over there in St. Louis, covering that market, which is a hotbed for soccer. So I'm really excited about catching up with them, man. They've really grown their channel and their following, and their coverage is probably one of the top as far as when you look at team coverage. I feel like they do a fantastic job. They really seem to be ingrained in that community. So I'm looking forward to speaking to them and about St. Louis, because we haven't really caught up with any of the St. Louis people since last season when they had such success. So looking forward to that.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. That wraps us up here. Make sure you like or comment below, subscribe, comment your thoughts. If we talked about your team, did we get something totally wrong? Is Logan too harsh on Nashville? Let us know. Am I too forgiving on Nashville? If you're a Nashville fan, let us know. We want to thank Jennifer for coming on and talking Atlanta United. That was a great time. So thank you very much for that. You can send us any sort of feedback at Stateside Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok now. Logan's got the TikToks going. And you can email us, statesideshow@gmail.com. I have some great stuff also coming very soon to Charm City Soccer Cast, which is our offshoot. We had Nick Seiler on before to interview for Baltimore City FC. We're going to be doing a little bit more of that stuff over on there. If you're interested in lower, like fifth, sixth tier of U.S. soccer, and how I always bitch and complain about not having a Baltimore team, well, now I kind of have one that I can talk about and cover. So that's over on Charm City Soccer Cast. I might share some of the stuff on this feed as well. I'm not really sure yet. I'm going to see what they want me to do, but we're going to have some more stuff with that club coming up shortly. So make sure you keep an eye peeled for that. Have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time when we talk, when we talk Houston, LAFC, Seattle, and St. Louis.
Tomorrow, throwing his body in. It's going to fall for Ibrahimovic. Oh, come on! Come on!
Thank you for listening to Stoppage Time Soccer Show. We hope that you continue to listen to our show as we recap the U.S. men's national team, Americans abroad, MLS, USL. This is Stateside Soccer Show, presented by Stoppage Time Soccer Show. Have a good one.